Good morning, everyone. My brothers and sisters in Christ, God is good. And all the time, it's good to see so many visitors here this morning in person. And if you're joining with us online, we're equally grateful to have you with us. If you'd like, we're a loving, praying church. We've got prayer cards sitting right in front of you in your pew. We'd love to pray for you. You can mark it private if that's the case. And just the elders and myself will be praying privately. And you know, our prayer is a dependence. It's an exercise of our faith. It exercises our dependence on our Lord and Savior. And so when we bring our things, our needs, our desires, our thanksgiving to Him, we rely on Him. We rely on Him for everything. Amen. And so we've also got welcome cards sitting in front of you. If you're new here, we'd love to send you a check for $100 million that's going to bounce. But we need your address or email address to do that. We're grateful you're here. If you're joining with us online for the first time, you can visit our website at fcoc.org. You can send a prayer request or your contact information through the contact part of that page. What a beautiful last couple of days we've had here, haven't we? We've been really blessed with great weather. It's been really awesome to be able to spend time outside and in God's creation with my wife and my daughter and our soon-to-be son here 2 weeks from today, and to be able to spend time with some of you throughout the week when the Lord wills. And it's just a beautiful time right now. Hopefully it doesn't stay or doesn't go back to getting too hot and we can just ride this out for a little bit, because Maryland likes to go all over the place. So let's exercise our dependence on God and pray that He keeps this weather for a little while so we can enjoy it. Amen. And so one of the things I wanted to talk about, so we've been in this series of Ephesians now. This is week 5, and we'll be wrapping up the series next week. And we've talked about a lot of things. You know, we've talked about the spiritual blessings, that we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms given us by the Father, and how good that is. That's a promise. That's a reward for all of us who believe in Jesus Christ. It's a gift from the Father, every single spiritual blessing. You may not get everything you want for Christmas as a kid, but God gives you every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. We've got redemption through Him. We are sealed for an inheritance through the Holy Spirit. And we're gifted God's marvelous grace through His Spirit, through our faith, that can empower us to walk in freedom in Jesus Christ. And in chapter 3, we learned about our but God story, that we once walked in these sort of ways, but God, you know, He can do things that we can't even think or imagine in our lives. And last week we talked about what it looks like to practically walk out the new life in Christ. And we're going to have a continuation on that this week as we talk about what it means to imitate your Father. But there's one part of last week in chapter 4. If you got your Bible, we'll flip there for just a moment. In Ephesians chapter 4, that I just wanted to highlight for just a minute. Paul is talking about unity in the church. And it's a big part of walking out our Christian life, that we're all one in God's Holy Spirit. We're all one body. And there's implications to that. And Paul says here in verse 2 of chapter 4, he says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And so we've got this unity, and we've got one Spirit, one hope, one faith. And we might have one opportunity to run into can you go back to got a picture there that I put in the slides. Well, now my punchline, I'm going to have to redo that. Yeah, and we might have one opportunity to run into each other and down in Florida. That's what I was going to say. This is a picture of Donna running into our sister, Darian Studer, down that works, living out her dream. Well, what an example of God doing abundantly more than you can ask or think. She's walking out her dream, working at Walt Disney down in Florida. And just so happened that we're one in spirit, we're one in body, we're one in faith. And you might have one opportunity to go meet Darian down in Walt Disney World. And that's exactly what Donna got to do. And I just wanted to highlight that. So we're going to be in chapter 5 today of Ephesians. We're going to look at the first 20 verses. So let's read God's word together. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For all of this, you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done and what you're doing and what you're going to do in our lives, in our families, in our church. Lord, we thank you that Father, you give us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your salvation. Lord, we're so grateful that you can do abundantly more than anything we could ever even imagine for our own lives. That you call us to love you. You call us to a life of peace and faithfulness and dependence upon you, Father. Lord, we thank you for the gift of a new life. We thank you for the opportunity to follow your example, that we could walk in love. Help us now as we seek to worship you in spirit and truth, that the things we sing and the things we say would build us up and it would glorify you. Jesus, we pray all this in your precious holy name. Amen. Okay. Well, there's something I want to share with all of you that you may know, you may not. But this might be news to you, probably not, given that there's a baby shower for our new son coming in a couple hours here after church. But I'm a father, and as fatherhood has offered me probably some of the best perspective I've ever gotten in my life. It's afforded me a lot of benefits. You know, to have this young person, this crazy, this beautiful, this wild, I'm describing myself because she's like me in many ways, which can be scary for some, me and my wife, but also she's got Joanna's tenderness and gentleness, which God's still working on me on that one. But to have the, to be afforded this opportunity to mold and shape this young child who really is a child of God that I'm just in stewardship of. You know, really, that's the perspective I have, you know. You know, and you gain that perspective, I think, even more if your child goes through some suffering too, and you realize, hey, this is really God's child, and I've got to use my gifts and rely on God and able to raise this child up. And, you know, raising Riley thus far, and I know raising Asher as he comes aboard, the Peterson train. It gives me so many opportunities to just have a different perspective on life. You know, you learn several things as a son, as an uncle, as a follower of Christ, as a person that's been through so many different experiences, highs and lows in life. And you, God uses those things to mold us and shape us into who he wants us to be. But there's something even added once you become a parent. And I assume when you become a grandparent, okay, we've got a couple people that are there. And one of the things that I've probably noticed the most here, and this can be scary at times, depending on what you got going on. But one of the things that Riley does, without a doubt, is she learns everything from imitating me and Joanna, and really everybody she sees. Everything that she learns and does comes through imitation. One of my favorite pictures, I think Joanna has of her, and I wish I had it here, but I don't, so sorry, is her putting on a pair of my shoes and walking around the house. I mean, it's so cute to see this little person, and she's probably complaining about lights being on in her head, because that's what I would probably do. Why is this light on? You know, nobody's here. It's a dad instinct. It just comes in your DNA once you become a dad. You get upset about lights on in various places of the house. And don't get me started on the thermostat. I've never cared about a thermostat more in my life until Riley entered the picture. I don't know why. Keep it on 76 and don't touch it. But Riley learns everything. Yeah, see, we're already, look, I shouldn't even put a number out there. Okay, 76 is where we'll keep it. So Riley learns absolutely everything from imitation. She imitates everything she sees. Just the other day, we were at the park, which sits, you know, sort of just right behind our house. And one of our neighbors, Wesley, was there with his two daughters, and they're older than Riley. Riley's 2.5, and his two little girls are probably maybe 6 and 7 or 6 and 8, somewhere in that range. And Wesley's a great guy. He's a neighbor right down the street. He's a dairy farmer, a hardworking guy. I know a guy like that who just celebrated a birthday. And, you know, Wesley's girls are doing gymnastics, and now they're in cheerleading. So they're lifting their leg up here and doing all, I'm not going to do it right now. Okay, you're welcome. We don't want any injuries or 911 calls coming from 1305 North Market Street. But they're doing all these cheerleading moves. And Riley started gymnastics a couple months ago, and it's probably the cutest thing I've ever seen, because she can do a front roll, and she tries to do cartwheels, which is kind of like this, and then she lands on her butt. And these two girls she's watching at the park, and it's always funny because she's sort of timid at first when she comes up on somebody she doesn't know. And then after a few minutes, she starts trying to do everything that they're doing. So they're doing these high kicks and all these cheer moves, and Riley's imitating and doing all these things. And it just dawned on me even more, like, man, she just learns everything from what she sees. As a parent, it really makes you have to do a self-evaluation, because anything I say, anything I do, my little habits that I don't even notice, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever it is, how I'm living my life, she's just like a computer taking everything in and replugging it into her life and her walk and what she's doing. I mean, when you think about it, now I think Colleen maybe even mentioned this in our Bible study this morning. We were talking about practices and disciplines of discipleship. You know, we really learn, most of us, almost everything from imitation, don't we? You know, you think about how you eat, how you walk, the basic things in life. But, you know, even down to school, you know, you learn math, you learn science by seeing how it's done. A lot of us, most of us, are visual learners in most ways. You know, our vocations, our jobs, we have on-the-job training. Ryan just talked about all these things you got to do. You learn flying not by just studying a book. And you got to imitate how others have done it before you. And, you know, one of the beautiful things about being a father and having gone through my own trials and things in my upbringing and my life, it affords you a different perspective, because now you know she's imitating everything you do. And so if you're doing it wisely, you choose to live and talk and behave a different way. You know, because don't we always want for our child a better life, a better direction, better guidance than we've ever had? And so imitation is really a good thing. It's something that we've all experienced. We all do in our jobs and everything. We imitate everything we see one way or another. Now, imitation can have its downfall like anything else. You know, when we imitate the things that and the values and the way of life that we see the world living out, whether we see that on TV or social media or on our cell phones, wherever, how non-Christians walk in the world and perform in their job and act in their families and in their marriages and as a parent, as a sibling, all these sort of things. When we imitate those things, we tend to have pretty bad consequences in life, don't we? So imitation can kind of have this dual effect. It can be used to build us up the right way, but probably just as easy, if not easier, when we imitate things that aren't of value to our Christian walk, which are so easy to do. You know, our life tends to turn in a different direction. But we start to take on and imitate the values and perspectives and the worldview of not Christ, but following our flesh, following the world. And so Paul says this just beautiful thing in chapter 5, verse 1, and the NIV puts it like this: follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. And your version may say it, imitate God, therefore, as God's beloved children. And so it's building on this idea last week of this new life in Christ. The first 3 weeks, as we spent this time in Ephesians, which is Paul's just beautiful masterpiece on Christian theology and practice, he spends the first three chapters really molding our theology and our doctrine and our idea of what it means to identify in Christ, what it means to be a follower of Christ, that we have every spiritual blessing in the Father, that we have an inheritance through the Holy Spirit, that we're redeemed because of Christ, that we can walk in grace through our faith, and that's how we're saved, and that God can do abundantly more than anything you can ask or think. He can take your life from right here in darkness and in hardship and in all this confusion, anxiety, and fear, and he can make it something new, and he can make it something beautiful. And last week, we talked a little bit about the new life and what it means to walk that out, what it means to be a new man or new woman in Christ, that it affects how we should react in our emotions, how we should talk to people. It should change us completely from the inner man out. And then Paul follows up on that, and he says right here, therefore, now that you're this new creation in Jesus Christ, you are now God's child, and we're called to imitate God. Just as Riley and your kids, as they're growing up, learn and do everything that their daddy and mommy does, Paul's saying, God is the one whom you should imitate because you are his, not just his child, you're his dearly loved child. And God gives us a perfect example to imitate. And so, you know, as we think deeply about what does imitation mean, because we've all experience this. This is how we learn things. This is how we're molded and turned into the person that we are, is through imitation. And imitation involves a close study and a close relationship with the one you're imitating, doesn't it? You know, when we're imitating someone, when Riley's imitating me or your child is imitating you, they're studying you. They're watching you. They're seeing who you are, how you move. You know, how do you react to things? What are you doing each day? What's your routine? How are you waking up? How are you doing this? How are you doing that? There's a close eye. There's a close study of how that person's walks out their life. You know, that's part of imitation. Yeah, I remember, and you're going to laugh, which is fine. I'm always happy to be a blunt end of a joke. But when I was a kid, we didn't have cable for the longest time. And a lot of you know what that's like. Probably most of you. So the channels that I had were all seven of them, and we would get all the old school stuff, and I see Cliff nodding his head. It really wasn't anything great or exciting, and I loved basketball. That was my favorite sport, and one of the things I'd get is all sorts of old games. So I see Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and all the ones that people older than me might say are the greatest of all time, although we all know it's Michael Jordan, okay? But I remember watching Larry Bird, and there was some sort of a documentary series on Magic versus Bird that was on one of these channels on a Saturday morning randomly. And I watched it, and one of the beautiful things was Larry Bird's shot. I still think, as good as Steph Curry is, And he's made more three-pointers than anybody in NBA history. I still think Larry Bird's shot was just the most perfect example of how you would shoot a basketball. He's got a high release. It's beautiful. He comes here and he drops it down. It's all wrist. He's putting nothing in his arms or shoulders. It's a beautiful thing. And I used to sit and watch this, and I wish I could pause, but it was old school TV. You just got to get what you get. But there were seven channels, so they just replayed the same thing all the time. And I would watch Larry Bird's shot, and I would study it because I wanted to imitate it. I wanted to have a shot like his. Now, I've played basketball with a few people in here, and one of our visitors, Meg, knows that very well. And she'll tell you after church that my shot looks exactly like Larry Bird's shot. I imitated him. I studied him. That's part of imitation, right? As we study the person that we're trying to imitate. The other part of imitation is a close relationship. You know, in order to imitate somebody, you've got to follow them. You got to imitate them. You got to have some sort of relationship. You got to understand their values. You got to understand their speech, the way they react to things, the things that they value most in life, their perspective. You got to anticipate. Part of a close relationship is you start to anticipate how they would walk in this situation or that situation. You know, you only know those sort of things about someone if you're in a close relationship with them. And if it's somebody that you value and you look up to and you're trying to imitate, that's going to be another aspect of imitating someone. And so we have to be very wise of who we imitate in this world. Okay, Paul is making it very clear in an Ephesian Greek culture where there's all sorts of sexual immorality and all sorts of habits that you can get into and gods that you can worship and all sorts of pagan things that will draw you further and further away from God that people just imitate. We tend to imitate the culture that we're in, don't we? You know, eventually we're all good. You know, my mom used to tell me that all fashion just comes in cycles. It's all just a fad. You know, so right now all the 90s stuff is coming back, the light jeans and the ripped jeans and all that sort of stuff. And people just imitate what they see. You know, we're just creatures that like to imitate, and that's how we learn. So we have to really be wise on who we're imitating and what we're imitating. We got to look at what their values are. And Paul's saying, you've got all these things in this culture that's in your nature to imitate because we're creatures that learn that way. And so he's saying, as a new creature in Christ, you need to imitate God. God is the perfect example. You are his child. We're called to imitate him. And then he says this in verse 2. He says, now that you're imitator, you're following God's example, therefore as his love children, now you should walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So, you know, in a new life in Christ, we have God as our perfect one that we're imitating. And walking in love is going to be a byproduct of imitating God, isn't it? When we study and we have a close relationship with the one we're imitating, we'll start to walk the way that person walks. We'll start to talk the way that person talks. We'll start to value the things that that person values. And so walking in love is just a byproduct of imitating God. And this is the agape love that we hear so often about that God has for us. Agape love embraces a deep and profound sacrificial love. A deep and profound sacrificial love that transcends and perseveres through any sort of circumstance. You know, this kind of love is walked out by living a life of intentional submission for the benefit of others, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of who they are or what they're going through. God's saying through Paul, when you imitate God and you walk in love, this is what it'll look like. It's a byproduct of caring and loving others in an intentional and sacrificial way, regardless of what the circumstance is, regardless of who they are or what they do. That's how God walks in love. That's God's agape love. That we submit intentionally to love others because he loved us first. And then Paul goes on, he says in verse 3, he's going to do what he's done so many times already in this book and what Paul tends to do in a lot of books. And he's going to give us a comparison. We're already talking about walking in the new life in Christ, what it means to imitate God, that we would, as a byproduct of that, that we would walk in love. And Paul's going to give us then, therefore, an example of what it looks like to compare walking in the world and walking a new life, imitating God. And he says in verse 3, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So Paul's going to highlight some of the things that people imitate in this Ephesian culture. You know, he's going to talk about these things. Sexual immorality was a big deal. You know, your version there might say fornication. You know, much hasn't changed since Paul's day. Isn't sexual impurity still one of those taboo things that's hard to talk about? But why is it hard to talk about? Because it's so in our face in our culture. Everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, everywhere you scroll, no matter where you're at, it's in your face. And your version may say fornication. It's the idea of any sort of sexually impure act or behavior that's outside of a marriage, you know? So this is premarital sex, this is adultery, this is homosexuality, any kind of sexual impurity. Paul says this is in contrast to imitating God. That root word where we would get the word sexual impurity or fornication is where we get the word pornography in English. These are sexually devious acts that draw us away from God. And it's very interesting that Paul would address these exact things in this passage. And if we look around in our culture today, it's the exact same thing that we're dealing with. You know, it, not only is it in your face, but it's rewarded, isn't it? You know, if you're a man and you've had these conquests sexually, you're lifted up, aren't you? And maybe if you're a woman and you've slept with this successful man, well, now you might be rewarded because of that. You know, it's so backwards to what Paul's saying here. He's saying that's not what it looks like to live a new life in Christ. That's not what it looks like to imitate God. That's what it looks like to imitate the culture around you. You know, and we don't make enough of this sin. You know, we meaning Christians in 2022. You know, it's easy to rationalize and have coarse joking that Paul's talking about here. And even it's sort of interesting that Paul uses the word greed here, because normally we would associate greed with money, right? And Paul's saying, no, this sort of greed is when you have a sort of insatiability for lustful desires. They've got to be fulfilled. You know, you've got to have it, and you're operating out of that. This is a value that you've walked in your life, and it's important to you. Paul's saying this is what it looks like to covet sexual impurity. That it turns into a greed. It turns into something you can't have enough of. And this is exactly, if we walk out this door, what probably one of the first things that we're going to run into. You know, and we don't make enough of it in the church. You know, we tend to brush sexual impurity off. You know, hey, it's okay. It's one of those things that grace covers. And certainly that's true if you repent and you're reborn, you're a new creation in Christ. But we're called to live different, church. You know, we're called to stand up against sin, to be separated, to be holy, you know, to be a chosen people, to walk in light. And this is exactly what Paul's talking about. He said, you know, our culture, our world walks in these things and they make much of them. They reward them so much so that it's involved in their coarse joking, that it's a part of their obscenity, of their foolish talk. You know, all these things are out of place, Paul says, for the Christian. You know, we shouldn't be joking about this. This sin of sexual immorality is so prevalent today, and oftentimes we brush it aside or we joke about it, don't we? You know, we don't make much of this. Our world tends to really devalue the consequences and the effects of sin in our life. And Paul's saying, hey, among you, there must not even be a hint of these things. It's not even proper for a Christian to joke about this sort of stuff. He's not beating around the bush here. Paul's being very direct about what it means to imitate God and being a new life in Christ. He says, this shouldn't even be among us. We're called to be separate. We're called for this to not turn into greed. Paul goes on here and he says, for this you can be sure, looking at verse 5. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, and he's talking about these sexual impurity, He says, such person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You know, when the sexual impurity that Paul is talking about here becomes to a point where it's coveted and you've got this insatiable desire for it that's turning into greed, well, now it's just become an idol. You know, this sexual lust, this desire, this thing is now an idol. It's become something that you worship. It's something that's taken your value and your perspective and you've held it in high regard. I've got to have this in my life. You know, and we see the effects of this sort of thing as much as our culture raises up and really encourages people to be rewarded for this sort of behavior. But don't we see the effects in our marriages, you know, of sexual impurity, of immorality in this area? You know, we see the effects in our marriage. We see the effects, even if you're joking about it, you can see the effects. There's a discomfort there, isn't it? And we see the effects in our marriage. You see the effects in your kids, right? Yeah, you know, I think I was talking about how I've got a different perspective as a dad, you know, and so I notice kids more. It's like when you start driving a Ford F-150, you start seeing 100 of them on the road. You know, once you've got a kid, you start noticing more kids, right? And I'll be honest, you know, I walk around downtown Frederick sometimes just to kind of get a perspective of my community and where I'm at, where God's called me to. And I notice people. That's one of my favorite things is the people watch. You know, I love it. I get to notice the culture and the people around me. You know, I notice how they walk. I notice what they're doing. I try to notice their relationships and try not to eavesdrop. But I'll be honest, one of the things that I notice often, and maybe this has always been the case, and now that I'm a dad, I just see it more. But isn't sexual impurity just even getting down to younger and younger and younger and younger boys and girls? I mean, you see this. I mean, walk downtown today. You know, it's a beautiful day outside. You know, and notice some of the children. Yeah, notice what they're wearing. Yeah, notice how they're talking. Notice how they're joking. You know, remember, how do we learn things? You know, we learn things through imitation, don't we? You know, these children that are talking that way and dressing that way and joking around that way, where do they learn that from? You know, their mom, their dad, TikTok, with all the dances and dressing and joking and all that sort of thing. All these things can be used for good, but this, make no mistake that these things are causing an impression on not just children, but our own lives. You know, somewhere down the line, you may look around and go, how did I get so much clothes? How did I start to value these things so much? Well, you're starting to imitate some of the things that you're seeing, aren't you? And Paul says, we've got to be very careful. We've got to be very careful in 2022 of what we're imitating, what our kids are imitating and our grandkids are imitating. Because they're seeing the world and they're imitating that. But if they've got a godly father and they've got a godly mother and they start imitating that, what kind of difference is that going to make in your family unit or in your community or in our church or in the school? You know, we look around and we see how generations are starting to be built up, and we can notice very easily through their actions and what they value and how they see the world, who and what they're imitating, can't we? And Paul says, this sort of thing is so easy to become an idol in your life. You know, we know that so much for a wayward husband that gets caught in this sort of thing, or children that are brought up in these sort of sexually impure, you know, lifestyles. It becomes the thing you worship. It becomes the thing you're all about. And Paul doesn't, he's not leaving any room for gray area. Paul very clearly in the second part of verse 5 says, such a person has, for this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of God. You know, that's very matter of fact. You know, Paul's not taking this lightly. Paul's seeing the world. He's seeing the Christians. He's seeing the culture they live in. And it's not a whole lot different from what we see today. And he says, Christians, you got to be warned. You know, you might be taking this way lighter than you're supposed to be, because there's a consequence to this. There's an absolute consequence to this. And Paul would say that in contrast to imitating God, imitating the world leads to a life of darkness. You know, not only a life of darkness, but Paul would say here very directly, there's no inheritance for a person like that in the kingdom of Christ and God. In verse 8, he talks about it more. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You know, it's interesting the wording here. Paul doesn't say that you once used to walk in darkness or you once used to act like you were in darkness. He says, no, you actually absolutely were darkness. When you live in this way before Christ, you're not just walking in darkness. You are walking darkness. You know, you are walking around. We've learned about that in previous chapters here, that in our sins and transgressions, we were spiritually dead. That's what it means to be walking in darkness, that our whole life is darkness. It's when our sins and transgressions have separated us so far from the new life that God has purposed for us, that we ourselves are just now darkness. And he says for us that we used to walk like that, but now you're light in the Lord. So therefore live as children in the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Our actions and our behaviors should reflect the one whom we serve, right? God is light. We are children of light. Therefore, we should reflect the one who we serve. As children of light, we need to be reflecting that in the way we talk, in the way we walk, in the way our kids imitate us, in the way we are a model for others. We should be separate from the way the world operates. And do you know what being a child of the light does? It does three things for you. The first thing that being a child of the light does is it reflects the one who is the source of the light. You know, that's how light works in our eyes. Light comes in our eyes, it reflects, and then we can see the image of where the light is the source of. You know, that's the basis of how our eye works. It's reflective light that gives us a picture. So as children of the light, we're called to be a reflection of the one who's the source of the light, aren't we? We're not called to be a part of the sexual immorality, impurity, and the way the world does things. And we shouldn't even imitate that. We shouldn't even talk about it. We shouldn't even entertain it. Shouldn't even joke about it, Paul says. He said, you are a child of the light. And because of that, you ought to reflect the one where the light comes from. And then what does light do? You know, here's the second thing, is when you're a child of the light and you're reflecting the source of the light, Jesus Christ, then naturally you're going to expose darkness. You know, that's what light does. Anytime light shines on something, you can now see what was once dark. Darkness can't cover light, but light covers all darkness. It uncovers it. It reveals things. When you start walking in the light, it's going to cause other people to have some sort of uncomfortable things in their life. You know, when you once used to walk in this way of joking around about sexual immorality, maybe even caught up in fornication in the way you once lived, but now God, by his grace, praise the Lord, by his grace through our faith has saved us, and he's called you to a new life. He started your but God life. He's starting to do more than he can think or imagine for yourself. You know, once you were there and now you're here, you're starting to expose darkness. So those same people that you maybe were hanging around before when you were in these sort of things, now your light, because you're reflecting the source of the light, is going to expose some darkness, isn't it? And it's going to cause some people to be uncomfortable. And so the third thing starts to happen naturally, that walking in the light starts to cause you some ramifications in your life. You know, it's a beautiful thing on the inside. You're being renewed daily. You're receiving God's mercy daily. You're walking in his grace. You're walking in his love. You're changing. You're starting to be sanctified. You're starting to be set apart. You're starting to be an example, starting to be a light of something that should be imitated by our children and our culture, right? But by doing that, there's going to be ramifications in the world because they're going to see that light and it's going to expose darkness and there's going to be a problem there. You know, and Jesus is upfront about that. He says, in this world, you're going to have problems. You know why you're going to have problems? Because you're a child of the light. Your light is going to reflect my light, and the world doesn't look like that. So you're going to expose their darkness, and they're going to have a problem with that. They're going to have a problem with the way you walk now. Oh, man, you ain't changed because you used to be just like this. I know you were messing with her. Now you're changed all of a sudden? Yes, brother, I'm trying to tell you God saved me. You know, I can introduce you to it. Let me tell you a little bit about my life. I'm different. I'm walking different. I've got a new life. I'm imitating the source of the light. I'm imitating the one who gave me a new life. And that's going to cause some problems and change some things. And Lord willing, God uses those situations to introduce the people like that to his gospel of grace, doesn't he? That's what he does when we shine light. It makes people uncomfortable, hopefully, to the point of desiring what you've now got in your life. And so our actions and our behaviors ought to definitely reflect the one we serve, shouldn't they? As children light, we ought to do things that reflect that. We ought to talk the way that reflects the light of the source, Jesus Christ. We ought to behave that way. We shouldn't make light of the sexual joking and horse talking and obscenities and all those sort of things that our culture and our tendencies to take so lightly. There's eternal consequences for that, Paul says. It's no joke. It's no joke. And even if you've walked in those things before, I'll raise my hand. Most of us here are guilty of that. But God's grace covers all that, doesn't it? If I just accept his grace through faith and I turn and I start repenting and walking in that new life that he created for me to be in his likeness anyway, I can be saved. I don't have to have these eternal consequences that Paul's talking about. I can be now a shining light as a child of God. Amen. So our actions and our behaviors ought to reflect the one we serve. And Paul starts to end it this way in verse 15. I love this. Paul says, be very careful then how you live. It's interesting that he would start off, be careful then how you live. Because I think Paul understands the ramifications of being a child of the light in a culture of darkness. We've got to be more careful even so than we've ever been, don't we? And Paul says, be very careful then how you live. Don't be unwise, live wise. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. If you ever had the best piece of advice on how to live a life daily for the Lord, it might be to have this sort of mindset, to make much of every single opportunity that God gives you. Because when left to our own devices, when left to our own wills and opportunities, that we think we should be doing this and doing that, that's when our days start to become evil, don't they? I often wonder how many times or how many opportunities that God gives me throughout my day where he's speaking something to me, or he's saying, come this way. I want to show you this, or say this to that person, or do this thing that way. And I just miss it because I'm so caught up in whatever it is I'm doing that I think is important at the time, or scrolling through something that I think is so important for me to see so often. And I'm missing the opportunities that God has right in front of me the whole time. That's just in one day. Imagine how many times God's trying to give you an opportunity to be a light in this world on a daily basis, and we miss it. And then multiply that by, if you're Cliff, 35 years. Okay. And how many opportunities that we miss that God's trying to say, hey, don't be unwise. You know that being a child of the light is going to cause problems. So be careful how you walk. Be wise. Have this perspective that each day I'm going to give you opportunities and you ought to take them. Wise Christians make the most of every opportunity of the time we have, don't we? That's what we should do. Paul tells us that the days are evil, so we've got to watch out. We've got to have this sort of mindset, this sort of unity about us. That as imitators of God, he's going to give us opportunities as his workmanship, as his imitatees, for good works that he's created for us and purpose for us long before we were even ever here. And we've each got those opportunities each and every day. And here's the result. When we can walk in the Spirit, when we can be imitators of God, then we start to do these things. Instead of getting drunk on wine, or which leads to debauchery, or even, I would even say, drunk on anything that alters us. And that doesn't even have to be a substance. If you get so drunk on reality TV, okay, that it leads to debauchery and leads you into a worldly mindset, and now you're imitating and valuing these things, Paul says, don't do that. Don't get drunk on these things of the world. He says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled with these things that you imitate in the world. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And what's the result of that? Well, then we're speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The result of being an imitator of God, walking in the new life with God, is joyfulness and thankfully worshiping him and fellowship with one another, isn't it? That's what it is for us as Christians when we walk wisely in this world and we make the most of our time and our opportunities, is that we begin to have this joy. We begin to have this thing that doesn't come from the stuff that the world says is joyful, you know, the things that we can easily get so filled up with. You know, Paul says those things have serious consequences. Those things, it's a waste of time. Don't be unwise. You're an imitator of God. You have a new life. Your purpose to be like him. You're created in his image. Walk therefore wise. Have fellowship with me. Have fellowship with one another. Live in a joyful and thankful way, because in that way, we're going to shine our light in the world. And those are the sort of things that make the difference when our kids and other generations and our coworkers and our family members get to start to imitate us, because we're a reflection of the one that we are imitating. Amen. Let's pray, church. Father, we thank you so much for your example. Lord, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, Lord, the perfect image that we ought to imitate, Lord, and that he walked in love for us. And what does that mean, Lord? That he so sacrificially cared more about others, regardless of their condition, regardless of even their stance with you, Lord, that even when we were enemies, Lord, your love and your grace was an opportunity for us to be saved. And Lord, we thank you so much for the loving example of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for that kind of love in each one of us. Lord, that you would renew our hearts today, making us a new heart, new motivations, new values, Lord, that are all based on you, Lord. Help us to learn and imitate, to value what you value, to see people and see opportunities the way you see them, that we'd be open to that. Guide us in your spirit. Make us new. Make us whole, Lord. Father, we need you. Help us when we walk out of this place today, this building, as a body of believers, Lord, that we would be a shining light, that we would be children of light, that we would expect that when we do those sort of things, there's going to be ramifications and opposition, Lord, and things are going to get uncomfortable at times, Lord, but give us the wisdom to make the most of every opportunity to speak the truth in love, to walk in love with each other and with the world, not to be a part of it, but to be transcended above it, Lord, because we are your light, children of your light, Lord. So we thank you so much. Give us strength this day to walk out of here different than the way we came in, to be more like your son. It's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Would you stand for this last song, please?